If you text Press Row to 727272, you get a free one-night game rental from Redbox. You know, video games are super fun and they're super expensive. And once you bust open that plastic, you're stuck with them. And that's why Redbox lets you try out the hottest new games risk-free. Right now, you can rent Middle Earth, Shadow of War, Destiny 2, NBA 2K18, and more. So just text Press Row to 727272 for a free one-night game rental. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play. The offer expires December 31st, 2017, subject to additional terms. Charges apply for additional nights. Payment card required. If you're not in Text Club, Redbox will send you an additional text with an invite to join their recurring alerts. Message and data rates may apply. For terms, visit redbox.com/textclub. And for the privacy policy, visit redbox.com/privacy. This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments. And right now, the Steam Winter Sale is on. Out of the Park Baseball 18 can be yours for just $9.99. And Franchise Hockey Manager 4 can be yours for just $19.99. These are the two best sports simulation games on the market. And they can be yours for way off of their regular prices. I mentioned Out of the Park Baseball 18 for PC and Mac, just $9.99. And Franchise Hockey Manager 4 on PC and Mac, just $19.99. And you can get them both for just $26.99. Out of the Park Baseball 18, as you know, has won multiple Game of the Year awards. Franchise Hockey Manager 4 is by far the best rated game in that franchise history. People are having a lot of fun. And if you want to know what Out of the Park Baseball and Franchise Hockey Manager are all about, you can join TJ Lowerman, Chris Jardine, and Adam Burnett and Jeff Riddles every Wednesday night for Out of the Park Night Around the World, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern with Chris, a.k.a. Snagglejay, doing his live stream on Twitch, along then at 9 with TJ and at 10 with Adam and Jeff. It's a great 3 hours every single Wednesday night on twitch.tv/OOTPDevelopments, and then goes to our youtube.com/OOTPDevelopments channel a couple of days later. So join us, join them, and go get Out of the Park Baseball 18 for just $9.99 and Franchise Hockey Manager 4 for just $19.99, or both of them for just $26.99 now through January 4th during the Steam Winter Sale. Enjoy the show. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Press Row Podcast. I'm Rich Grisham. Thank you for joining us. I am excited. I'm really excited because the Press Row Podcast, it's been doing its thing now for quite some time, over 5 years. In fact, last week's episode was episode number 250, which is really cool. So we do a lot of things as tradition around here. Our Sports Game of the Year episode was last week. A lot of fun, a lot of discussion, a lot of controversy. Of course, coming up over the next couple of weeks is our sort of Christmas Spectacular, where we get all sorts of friends of the show to talk about their favorite games. But we're also now tonight doing something for the very first time ever, which is we are awarding the official Press Row Podcast 2017 Racing Game of the Year. So that's a lot of fun. We are obviously around here big fans of racing games. Every year we do usually a couple of episodes, but I realized we've never sort of given out the official award, so we are here to right that wrong. Or wrong that right? No, right that wrong. That's what we're here to do. And we have got the absolute best possible group of people to do that. So joining us tonight up first, you know him very well if you've been listening to the Press Row Podcast for years. He is one of the co-hosts of the absolute best show on the internet, as well as the creator of Generation 16, which is an incredible resource for Sega-related video game stuff. Mr. Greg Seward from the Player One Podcast. Greg, thank you for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm great. You always make me blush every time you introduce me, Rich. You're so kind. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
A long-time and big-time racing game fan and aficionado. Up next, we have the creative director for the World Cup for Telemundo, making, I believe, at least his second, if not third, appearance. Another tremendous racing game knowledgeable fan, Mr. Dave Benry. Dave, how are you, sir? Welcome back.
Very good, Rich. Thank you so much for having me again. It's a pleasure to be here. I am excited to talk best racing games of the year. This will be fun.
All right. Up next, we have, known for being really the author of a tremendous amount of great content for Hit the Pass about racing games, as well as a multi-time guest on the racing-themed episodes that we do, one of the most knowledgeable people about the world of racing, the real world of racing, I've ever spoken to. Great friend of Hit the Pass and the Press Row Podcast, Dr. Ken Parker. Dr. Ken, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Season's greetings to everybody today. And as for those in the Northern Hemisphere who might be settling down for a cold winter's night, I've just returned from swimming in the beautiful Indian Ocean, where it was about 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and a perfect day in wonderful WA. So enjoy your snow up there.
Everything Ooh, about where me. You live is weird. Everything. And also our great friend from the Dodcast, my good podcasting co-host, and longtime contributor to the Press Row Podcast, and another racing game aficionado, my friend Pete Dodd. How are you, sir?
I am great. I'd also like to say off the top that, unlike Ken, I'm the opposite. I don't know a single thing about racing in real life. I just am obsessed with the games. So if anyone's listening to this and coming at it from that angle, I'm your guy.
You know, it's so funny, Pete. The first time I think I remember having a discussion with you about racing games, you gave probably a 10-minute passionate dissertation about a Sony Racing franchise that I think was like a PS3 launch, which I think was a MotorStorm.
Yeah, MotorStorm.
10 minutes. Like that, I still think might be one of your all-time favorite games, not just racing games. Am I right about that?
It is. Yeah, that's definitely in my top five all-time.
What happened to that franchise?
They went on and made Drive Club, and then Sony blew them up, as they do with all of my favorite Sony studios.
Oops, sorry about that. Okay, moving on. We are officially awarding tonight our, as I said, our 2017 Racing Game of the Year. The way that we do this is simple. I asked all of our panelists to provide their top three racing games of the year, ranked in order. And every game gets assigned a number of points based upon where it finishes, and we will have our Racing Game of the Year awarded at the end. Very simple, very straightforward, and a lot of fun. So what we're going to do is everyone's going to go through their list, and we're going to talk about the games as they come up. And before we do that, I think I want to bring up, and I don't want to start on a negative foot, but I guess I will anyway. Nobody had Need for Speed on their list at all. Did anybody play Need for Speed? Did anyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Pete, your thoughts on Need for Speed?
It's a mediocre open world racing game with an exceptionally awful story mode. And the story mode brings with it this weird decision that anytime you do something cool, it cuts to like a different camera and you're not in control of your guy or your car, rather. You know, like you go over a jump or something and then it just becomes a cutscene. So anything cool, you don't even get to take part in. The actual just going around the open world, finding races to compete in is a good time. But like when we live in a world where Forza Horizon 3 exists, like a decent time isn't good enough. So really, the game tanked pretty hard. It was on sale within 1 week of launch, even digitally, which was another sort of slap in the face to idiots like me who bought it before it came out, pre-ordered it. So, yeah, mediocre at best.
Greg, did you play it? You are a big-time, long-time Need for Speed fan.
Oh, I've been burned too many times by that series, and every time I play anything within the last, like, 5 years or more, all I can do is be reminded of how Hot Pursuit 2 is still one of my favorite racing games of all time, and that series has fallen so far.
And I played it for a couple of hours. It looks great. It just...
It always does.
Something underneath the covers, like whenever I'm playing Need for Speed, and I'm not trying to be snarky, but whenever I was playing Need for Speed, it reminded me that I wanted to really be playing Forza 7, in my case, anyway. Like that's the purpose that it accidentally served. Dr. Ken, did you play Need for Speed?
No, I didn't. And I must say, I've been trying to think about what you could do to Need for Speed to actually fix it, because I think there's some actually fundamental problems with the setting. And I suppose it seems like it's aiming for a younger crowd, and I just don't know whether the shine has come off, kind of the Fast and Furious style presentation that they've got going for. I mean that film series has kind of run its course as well. And I don't know. I wonder whether they actually even need to just blow the whole thing up and, you know, maybe do a can you imagine like a historic Need for Speed that was like set in the 70s with Chargers and stuff like that, almost like a Dukes of Hazzard, but less racist kind of model?
That would be amazing.
You know, that also takes away all the cell phones and the drones that, you know, the things like that. But I think back to basics might be what they need to do.
I think you're exactly right. That's get rid of the distractions. You know, maybe build that stuff in again, but just get back to a focused racing game. You know, create, put some beautiful cars in there, put some interesting tracks in there, and then just let people race.
Yeah, the racing is so far in the background of this game that it's kind of a joke.
Mm.
It's the whole point of it seems to be the story, which, like, as you're saying, Dr. Ken, it's like, this would have been a great game on like the PS3. Like, that's when the movies were really hitting hard. Like, it would have been one of like early on in open world racing games and all that stuff. It's a tired idea. It's like, mm-hmm. It's 8 years too late.
Dave, did you play Need for Speed?
I did not. And I have EA access, so I could have downloaded it and tried it. A lot of people advised me to not even waste my time downloading it. So, yeah, I think it's exactly what you guys are describing. I think there's franchise fatigue. It doesn't know what it is anymore. I think they need to take some years off and come back later. Something like what Assassin's Creed did, where they took a year off and they came back with a fantastic game. So they need to figure it out, because I don't think they know what's going on at this point.
Isn't it extraordinary that if you look at two of EA's, you know, kind of classic tentpole titles, that somehow NBA Live is in a better position than Need for Speed?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, and we'd be remiss not to mention the fact that the progression is tied into loot boxes as well, which is problematic not only because of the pay-to-win nature, but just because it messes, like, the progression just isn't as fun when you're pulling random parts out of a box, whether you pay for them or earn them. It just messes the progression up.
Yikes. Dave, one other game I wanted to mention before we started on the list, you gave it an honorable mention, which I don't know if anyone else has even played this game. MXGP3, what is that and why did you like it? Not enough to be on your top three, but enough to at least write it down.
Yeah, and I, honestly, my list is formed on what I played the most this year, and I played quite a bit of this game. It is basically an F1 of motocross, if you will. It's got all the real world tracks, 22 riders. They go all over the world, so all these tracks are everywhere on the planet. It's got track deformation that happens dynamically. And the physics are very solid. It's a fun, you know, motorcycle racing game in the dirt. And I enjoyed it. The AI is pretty good. They've got some DLC. I think they added a super cross track DLC, which was cool. And I had a lot of fun with this.
Greg, do you know of this game?
This is a game that I keep sort of looking at, and I'm just so close to pulling the trigger on it. But really, the reason why I haven't is that the price hasn't gone down low enough, not since the last time I checked anyway. And I've been waiting for impressions from people that I know like good racing games, like listening to Mr. Benry there. So it's something I really want to try. I've always been really interested in that stuff. And, but you know, ever since I would say probably the PlayStation 2 era, I've found that most of those dirt bike racing games have been kind of lacking. So to hear that this one is good, I'm planning on picking it up. Yes.
Yeah. It's certainly the best in the bunch from the last three.
Pete, are you a motorcycle racing game guy at all?
I am. I have the first two. I haven't gotten the third one yet. Same reason as Greg, I'm just waiting for it to get cheaper. I always have a decent enough time with the series. The third one does look like it's a pretty big jump up, which is nice, because the other ones felt kind of cheap.
Dr. Ken, same question to you.
Yeah, I think that I'm struggling to actually remember which game this is, because it does, and I don't mean that in a terrible way, but the dirt bike racing games all tend to blend in for me, which is maybe says more about my lack of knowledge of the series. But like, this is different from the MX versus ATV series,
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I've played quite a few of those, and they've never stuck with me. So, bike games are weird in general. Like I picked up a couple of weeks ago, I picked up the Ducati 75th anniversary game, which is from the makers of Ride 2. And they've made like three different motorbike games in the space of like 3 months. They released them, and they're basically all the same game. Some of these games do tend to blend into one big morass of bikes and dirt and ATVs and four wheelers and all sorts of stuff.
All right, let's get to what did make the list. So we're going to start. We're going to do this fantasy football snake draft style. We're going to start with you, Pete Dodd. Pete, what is number three on your list for racing game of the year in 2017?
Number three for me is F1 2017. People who listened to our last racing game podcast like a month or two ago may remember that I hadn't played it, that I had 15. I never bought 16 or 17 because I don't follow the sport, and I assumed that they were like typical sort of sports games, that it was just updated rosters and I didn't really need it. But Greg and Ken really sold me on it. So I waited for a sale and got it on sale. And I think that's pretty much the only reason why it's number three. I think if we were having this discussion in a month or two, when I have more hours under my belt, I'm sure it will probably move up to number one. I'm having such a great time on the track. It controls beautifully. I'm playing it on the PC with a controller, and the machines are just so powerful. It feels so good. It's such an intense form of racing as well, which I tend to forget when I don't play an F1 game for a long period of time, because they're so fast, but they also break so well. Mm-hmm. It's great. The career stuff should be overwhelming, but they've really done a good job of pulling casual people like me. Like I feel like I'm semi-hardcore on the track, but when it comes to everything else, not so much. And the game really is like we can hold your hand or we can let you do everything yourself. And I've sort of set up a mixture of those two things, and I'm having a really good time with that. And I'm just really having a lot of fun with the game. And it's so fun that sometimes I'll start a practice up, and then like I'll lose like half an hour. Like just go, it's just that fun just going around the track. So that's number three. It will probably wind up being higher.
So we are going to table the further discussion for F1 for a little later, because as a would be a surprise to nobody, F1 is higher on everyone else's list. I've also played it, and I have some thoughts about it too that we'll talk about when we get a little bit further on. So moving next to Dr. Kent. Dr. Kent, what's number three on your list for racing game of the year in 2017?
Number three for me is Project Cars 2. And part of it is actually that I like, this is a terrible thing to say, I like everything in Project Cars 2 apart from the driving. but I wanted to give an honorable mention, if you will, for number three for Project Cars, because I love the fact that they've gone deep into the tracks. I love the fact that you can race in Dubai, that you can race in places in China, that you've got the European circuits that don't appear in other games, and importantly that you can race at classical circuits, so the classical Spa, the classical Hockenheim, the classic Monza. Project Cars 2 is better than Project Cars 1. I still think it is too difficult with a wheel and a controller. I think that the driving mechanic just isn't fun enough. And some of the menus on console aren't really optimized and things like that. But saying that, I think of the racing games that came out this year, I did enjoy my time with Project Cars 2, if for nothing else than the experience of driving at the old Spa and old Hockenheim and old Monza. And other racing games could learn to diversify their track availability the way that the Project Cars 2 has.
Very nice.
That is the single reason why I still consider buying that game. That is the reason when I find it for $20, I'm picking it up, because I want some digital rendition of those classic tracks. Mm-hmm. You just don't get them anywhere.
So, Dave, you do have, we won't spoil it, you do have Project Cars 2 on your list. So
yes.
You are the only other person who had this game on their list, which I found interesting. So tell us why it placed where it did.
Well, for me, you know, I had it high on my sort of expectation list before it came out. I figured that if they could nail a couple of things, I would be very interested in this, because it's basically a PC sim on console. And PC sims attract me quite a bit. I have a wheel, and I think this game actually plays really well with the wheel. I don't think it does with the controller. I love the dynamic weather system. I don't think I've ever seen the amount of weather options that I've seen in a game as what I've seen here. I think there's 17 weather options, from rain to fog to a blizzard to a thunderstorm. I mean, it's nuts. And just a lot of customization options, laser scan tracks. I think, as Ken said, there's 60 tracks. There's 29 different types of motorsports. So it's basically anything you want to race, you can. Is it perfect? No, but there's a lot to like here.
Pete, Project Cars 2, not on your list at all.
No. Since I don't have the relationship with racing, all of the tracks really mean to me is that it has a lot of tracks, which is cool. I want racing games to have a lot of tracks, but I don't have any particular attachment to them. And I play with the controller, and it doesn't control well with the controller at all. So basically what I'm left with is a game that has a ton of content that I don't want to touch.
Mm-hmm. And Greg, you already touched on it a little bit, but you haven't yet taken the plunge.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pete just put it perfectly. I do have that kind of a relationship with real racing in general, and on paper, Project Cars 2 is made for me, really. But with my experience with the previous game on console, and also listening to you know, people who have actually played it, saying it really didn't seem to. It doesn't sound like the experience has really improved all that much. And the experience was so bad the last time that I just can't see spending any of my precious time on that game.
Yep. If time is an issue, you know, these things become prioritized quickly. I know exactly what you're talking about. Hey, everybody. We're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsor this week, Redbox. You know, everybody knows that Redbox is about renting movies and video games for cheap. But did you know that Redbox also sells used games starting as low as $4.99? So for the price of one of those extra large caramel frap, double espresso, no foam, two foam drinkity drinks that you love, and you know you do, you could start the most legendary game night tradition ever, playing your hearts out all the way up till bedtime for way less than you'd pay in store. You can keep your kids quietly entertained all month long. I know something about that. So that you can practice that extremely complex and extremely painful yoga pose and get it down to perfection so that you can impress your entire class with your superhuman flexibility. Yeah, of course, because that's what I do. That's right. Buying games for Redbox is a way cheaper option, and this time you keep them forever. So right now, Doom, Dark Souls 3, Madden NFL 17 are all for sale. So head over to the box and do game night on the cheap. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play. All right, Dave. So number three on your list is a game that you were the only one who chose. So I'm interested to hear what you thought about this.
Again, it's what games did I play the most that I enjoyed and actually had fun with. And I was surprised that I had this on my list. It was a debate in my head. But NASCAR Heat 2 was my number three.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was by far the most improved from the first game as far as the amount that's there. I had a ton of fun with the AI. I think it's the best AI in a NASCAR game that's ever come out. I can soundly say that. Having all three series, you know, having the trucks and you work your way up, mind you, there are some negatives here, but you know, I had a lot of fun with the single player. I don't think it's a great multiplayer game. It turns into a bit of a destruction derby. But they added little things, you know, little details like the rivalries that they had back in the NASCAR Thunder series, where if you got into somebody, they remember and they might get back at you later on. So it had a lot of those details, but you know, sounds very, very poor sound. Just little things that I wish they would improve. It's 30 frames per second. It is stable, 30 frames per second, even with 40 AI cars. But yeah, that's why it's number three on my list.
Now, Greg, you've played this. You've talked about it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you were interested, or clearly you expressed surprise and interest in his selection of it. So where are you with this game right now?
I actually agree with a lot of what you said. This is the same. Well, I shouldn't say the production team on this is the same team generally mm-hmm. that brought us NASCAR Thunder. And in my mind, NASCAR Thunder was the peak of NASCAR racing games on console. That series was fantastic.
I'm glad you added console there, because the peak of NASCAR games is the original Papyrus NASCAR.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No question. I agree. They made a ton of strides this year. By adding in the other two series, by adding in what felt like a more robust career mode, although it still doesn't hold a candle to what it was on the Thunder series. I don't think. They've added a lot of what I really liked. And it's funny watching this series and knowing the people who make it, and knowing what they're capable of back when they were at EA and they had ridiculous budgets and all the time, that they needed to really build a franchise, where they're only in their second year here. This game, I was a little disappointed with it. But it was a huge step forward, and it made me very excited for what's going to come next year. Mm-hmm. And I really hope they hang on to the license. I really hope they hang on to their funding. I can't wait to see where this series is in about 3 years, because I think it'll be amazing.
Yep, I agree with that.
Pete Dodd, any interest in this game?
Yeah, it's another game that I'm going to pick up when it gets cheaper. I would like to say, though, that the best NASCAR game on console ever was Days of Thunder on the NES.
Oh, God. I will say too.
Dirt to Daytona is.
I was
going
to say Dirt to Daytona was fantastic, and that's interesting that you say that, because the development team for Heat is the Dirt to Daytona people. It's Monster Games, so I mean you've got the two groups that made two of the best NASCAR console games. So you know they can do this, and you know they're going to get there, but it's a matter of getting there.
And they got to make these games to generate revenue to keep the whole machine working.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. Okay, Greg, that brings us to you with your number three, sir.
My number three was Forza Motorsport 7.
Boo. Should have been higher. Should have been higher.
Okay. I was going to say, okay.
I'm going to boo for the opposite reason.
Yeah, it's funny. I know you. We have really, opposing opinions on this. No, I feel like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the last racing game podcast we had, and Dr. Ken, I think, made some really good points about Forza 7 from a technical standpoint. I think is really good. They did racing in the rain super well with Forza 6. The whole idea of standing water on a course changed the way you raced in the rain and felt much more true to life. I liked what they tried to do with the changing conditions in this version of it. I think that I liked everything about the game. I like when you get onto the course and you have a car that handles well, the game plays beautifully. The problem was the design was too much a slave to sort of the trends we're seeing in 2017 with the loot boxes and just these dozens of little, timed content bits and pieces that kind of really you lost the actual experience in there somewhere. And Dr. Kim made a really good point a couple weeks ago where he said that he felt like it lost. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact words, but felt like it lost its character. And that's true, especially when the alternate year series is Forza Horizon, which is nothing but character. It's a shame that that's happened with this, but I still think it's a very, very technically impressive and competent and fun racing game. You just kind of got to search for it a little more than you're used to in the Forza series.
I am. Go ahead, Dr. Ken.
Sorry, I was just going to say, do you know what's a good racing game? Forza 6. Forza yes. 6 is a really good racing game.
It's a better game. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, things like the weather, because it's not dynamic in Forza 6, but the weather is better in Forza 6 than it is in Forza 7. They've turned up the weather too much in Forza 7. You wouldn't go racing in the weather that they present in Forza 7. It's like MotorStorm. Yeah, it's like MotorStorm. It's ridiculous. And they just seem to have amped it up to this level of great unrealism. That drives me bonkers. I also think that Forza 7 was a buggy mess. I experienced really? Game-breaking bugs constantly. Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
My 1 in 3 races, so it would start with that little cinematic, it would kind of wrap around your car. 1 in 3 of my races, it would lock me into a side view of my driver's side door and not looking forward, and I would actually have to restart the entire Xbox in order for it to reset itself to the correct camera angle.
Wow.
It was, I don't think this game was finished.
Well, I mean, that's, yeah, you could say that about most games now, but no, I hadn't seen that at all. That's interesting.
I'm so angered by this. This game makes me so angry.
You know, it's amazing. I was jokingly booing when Greg selected Forza 7. But no one else even had this game on their list. In a year where Forza 7 is released, no one had it on their list except for Greg, and Greg at number 3. This was my racing game of the year. Granted, I'm not a voting participant in this year's panel, but it was my racing game of the year. I am blown away that Dave, Pete, or Dr. Ken did not have, between any of you, didn't have it on their list. Pete, explain yourself.
Well, I was having a decent enough time with Forza 7, and then Gran Turismo came out, and then I just didn't play it again. I have it on the PC. I'd just gotten a new PC with an ultra-wide monitor, and it's gorgeous running it at some crazy resolution. I don't even know ultra-wide resolutions, but it's, you know, higher than 1080p. So absolutely gorgeous, especially in with the weather and whatnot, but I just... Once I played Gran Turismo, the almost simulation style of Forza just doesn't do it for me anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, when I want to play a console sim, I go to Gran Turismo, and if I want to play online, Gran Turismo is a lot better as well. Forza is really just bumper cars.
Dr. Ken?
Yeah, and I'm looking at my car keys that has the the Forza Motorsport 2 keyring on it. I've got a Forza Motorsport 4 USB stuck into my PC from the, you know, stupid collector's editions I've bought of all these games over the years. I love Forza. I just don't think Forza 7 is a good game. I think Forza 6 is better in every single way. Hey, Forza Horizon 4, that's going to be really good next year.
Oh, so, it's going to be amazing.
Let's look forward to that. Forza 7 is dead to me. It is. It's awful.
Dave, you had it on your honorable mention, but do not have it on your list either. So
yeah,
you had it honorable mention because clearly you found something good in here. But again, not good enough to make your top list.
No, I think, and it boils down to how much really did I play of this game, and I didn't play much. I think it looked stunning. Great sounds. I was super excited. I bought an X. I was like, this game's going to look fantastic on the X. But when it got down to actually, you know, dealing with the weather that supposedly was dynamic, when I realized, oh, no, this is all sort of pre-staged weather.
That's a good point.
Couldn't get into, okay. And I think it's a personal thing. I think I've sort of, you know, I was a huge Forza Motorsport fan. I love the Forza Horizon series. I almost love it a lot more than the Motorsport series now, because now I really only race sanctioned series type things, which is probably why my list is what it is. I like official racing. I like the strategy of the racing. I race usually with a wheel. Forza can be raced with a wheel, and it races fine, but it doesn't. It's 3 laps. It's 5 laps. I want a pit. I want to have my tires changed. Should I come on to the options? All of those strategy decisions, I think, are missing for me in order for me to put it on my list as a top. But I can understand why someone would, because it's a beautiful, stunning game that offers over 600 cars and has everything anybody that doesn't like what I just mentioned would like.
Yes. Did you know there is no pit stop animation in Forza 7?
Nope.
None.
Well, there hasn't been, right? On any of the Forzas.
Ah.
I gotta say that I agree with your crotchety issue there, because I'm an angry old man too. But I gotta say that I don't blame them for not having that, just because there are so many cars in that game, and the animation is not gonna match every car.
That's
and
true.
I honestly think it's the lesser of two evils in those situations, because it's way better than coming into the pits, driving a classic Mini, and having the dudes changing the tires, you know, 2 feet away from the front of the car or something like that. Like, you know, just throwing that out there. But I agree. I'm, you know, it'd be better if it was there.
All right, Greg, we're going to stay with you. Number two on your list for racing game of the year 2017.
Number two for me is Gran Turismo Sport. It's I know that this game has received a huge backlash because of the lack of career mode. But I have to say that there's just nothing like playing a Gran Turismo game. That's really what it comes down to. When you get onto the road in this series, it always feels, and it always has felt, fantastic playing with a wheel or a controller. I think they really got the online right, which I was amazed by when I got this, because if anyone who's been playing this series for a while knows, online has always been the Achilles heel, especially at launch with these games. It's always just a complete circus. And to have this sort of sports setup where they have the three live races going every day, and now they're also doing the FIA series that I think they all start tomorrow as of this recording. Or maybe it's today. No, tomorrow, the 20th. It's fantastic. You just jump into a hopper and you go and you practice, and then you're placed into a group that I've found personally, the competition has been fantastic. I'm always in a group where it's very competitive. As the days have gone, as we've gone further into the launch of this, the racing is generally very respectful. At least that's what I've experienced. So overall, I'm just super happy with it. Plus, you know, it's a great history lesson. I turn that thing on and you let that thing run and it's got that crazy timeline. I just found out today, and now I've already forgotten it. That's how stupid I am. But you just find out interesting facts of the world just having that thing running, because it's not just car history, it's world history, which is kind of ridiculous, but it's a very Gran Turismo thing. But overall, I'm very excited. And now to hear also that they are going to be actually grafting a more traditional career mode, single player career mode into this game, or campaign mode into this game over the next month or so, just adds to it. I'm going to be playing this game all year, I think.
It is genuinely possible that this could be my favorite racing game of 2018. Like, I could see that happening if the single player career mode that they introduce is fun. Because for me personally, and we all play these games for different reasons, right? You guys are talking about pitting. I hate pitting. Pitting is confusing. It's strange. It's weird. I don't want to do it. Or if I have to do it, just have it do it for me. Like, why do I have to, like, oh, wait, there's the lane. Oh, okay, I got to swerve, crash. And then, wait, do I gun it? And will it then just automatically, like, take my speed down to the pit speed? Or am I going to get a black flag and kill people? Like, these are all problems I have with pitting. So no need for that from my perspective. Anyway, so anyway, as an aside, that you know, it's so interesting to hear the perspective, because, Dave, you did not have Gran Turismo Sport on your list because you did not play it. Why in the world would you not play Gran Turismo Sport, sir?
I have not played it. There's no actual reason why. I just haven't. I've been on my Xbox One X. I have not turned on my PlayStation, so.
And Dr. Ken, you're the same person. You're not playing this game on purpose. Are you kidding me?
I don't have a PS4. I've got my Xbox. I don't have a PS4. I'd be interested though to know from Greg, what is it like with the controller? Because if I do pick up a PS4, and you know that they are on sale at the moment, I'm not going to buy a wheel and have two wheels in the house because I'm not that crazy.
No, your wife won't let you. You can just say that, you know.
Yeah. I'm myself, I think, at this point. What's it like with the controller?
It plays great. It plays great with it. I actually, just because my wheel setup is not permanent, a lot of nights when I'm just picking it up.
Is that because your wife won't let you?
My wife's long gone, my friend. I don't want to pull the wheel out if I'm just going to play it for 15 minutes. Because like I say, the way the online the matchmaking is set up, you can just play for like 15 minutes and get a good experience. So I actually tend to play it a lot with the controller and I have an absolute blast. You should go check out. I have a replay saved on my YouTube channel of a race I did recently, which was fantastic. You should go check it out.
Cool.
But yes, I think you'd enjoy it. It's supremely playable using a controller.
Very good. All right, Dave, Benry, back to you, sir. Number two on your list is?
Project Cars 2. What can I say other than I did enjoy this game. It has stock cars in it, so that was immediately a draw for me. The sound is excellent, and it has an online reputation system, which is rare in a game. So among everything else I spoke about earlier, this made number two for me.
Very good. Okay, now we're getting into some rather interesting territory, I would say. Dr. Ken, number two on your list.
Number two on my list was Baja Edge of Control HD Remix or Remastered or whatever the HD version of Baja Edge of Control is, which was a game that I picked up based on Greg and I think Dave's recommendations, and I really enjoy it. It's an arcade off-road racing game, obviously set around the context of the Baja 1000 and the trophy truck series and dune buggies and things like that. It's really fun. I mean, it's the graphics are not fantastic. It's the menus are really antiquated. The AI difficulty is either ridiculously easy or ridiculously hard, and so it's hard to find a right balance between the AI racing. But it's just fun burning around in trophy trucks and dune buggies in the desert. And they have large open world maps. They've got hill climb events. They got multi-series events. It's just darn good fun, and it was, you know, $30, and I've spent quite a number of hours just burrowing around the desert. It's good. It's good fun.
I can't tell you how happy I am that this is on your list, because I remember us talking about it previously, and it was weird because I had gone back and played through the original game because I completely overlooked it. I bought it cheap on the 360 back near the end of its life, and then I just sort of happened to drop it into the tray the end of last year and totally fell in love with it. And then to come to find out as I'm finishing that up that THQ Nordic, who bought the rights, is re-releasing this is an HD version. And I was telling anybody who would listen, like, you've got to try this game for exactly all the reasons you just said. It's just fun. It's not perfect by any stretch, but it's just so much fun.
No, and as it was pointed out before, I am a crotchety old man, and I don't generally like fun. and so, you know, and also that the fact there are a lot of these kind of, you know, over the years B tier, what I regard as B tier and C tier racing games, like the, you know, the MX versus ATVs and things like that, and they all do tend to blend into another. And I must say, I would have looked at this game and would have, probably not. But picking up, it's just darn good fun. I mean, the racing's intense. It's very much of in the arcade sort of spectrum of things, but the cars handle well. It does have some fairly detailed mechanics in terms of handling your oil pressure temps and things like that. So you just, you know, you can't just hold the accelerator all the way down and go like the clappers. But it's a good fun game. I really do recommend picking up because it is quite cheap.
One other thing too, I just like to call out is some of the greatest track design I've seen. Like, not all of them are winners, but there's some really, they really tried some interesting things with some of the track design in that game, and it almost always works.
Yeah, there's a lot of verticality with the tracks,
yes.
Which helps.
Yeah.
So what's really, really, really interesting is that, Pete Dodd, would you tell us what number two on your list of racing game of the year for 2017 is?
Baja Edge of Control, what HD remaster remix.
Wow.
Yeah, I
Turbo Edition.
I struggled with whether to put it there or not because... You know, do you put remasters? Do you put early access? You know, there's been a lot of arguments about that. But I just played it for the first time this year, so it was a new game to me, and I loved it. I mean, I echo everything that Ken just said. It's a lot of the sort of dressing to it's bland. Like, there's a career mode, there's stuff to do, but none of that stuff is like any different than anything else. It's really just getting out on the track, the way that it controls, the sense of speed is great. The verticality is great. You feel the dips, you feel the jumps. It's an arcade racer with some depth, which I'm a fan of. It feels like too many arcade racers just go for flash and not depth. It's just a fantastic game.
And you guys, what do you play it on?
PS4.
Yeah.
I'm playing on Xbox.
I'm going to have to get this game, aren't I?
It's on Steam as well. Mm.
So it's everywhere, in other words. You have no reason not to be playing this, is what we're hearing.
In fact, Richard even has some terrible FMV on the intro movies.
Nice.
So, you know, it ticks a box for you as well. I mean, the menus do deserve their own level of category for the ugliest menus in video games, but... Don't, you know, Microsoft Paint, I think, was used in the construction of these menus. But once you get past that, the racing is really good fun.
Amazing. All right. Well, that brings us to your number one, Pete Dodd, in your game of the year in the racing category is
Gran Turismo Sport. It's somewhat of a surprise to me that it is, but it isn't a surprise to me. I guess I was really nervous going into this Gran Turismo because of the fact that they kept talking about how it was centered around online play. And online play in console sim racers has generally been garbage. Even with friends, it could be pretty rough. For a long time in Gran Turismo 5, I think it was. I think it was 5 and not 6. I played with the Player One podcast crew with Greg Stewart here. Yep. And there was this one dude who every single race in the first corner took out 7 of us. Every single time. And, like, so even with friends, I mean, it was funny, but, like, after, like, the fifth time, it's not as funny anymore. You know, we were able to get some fun out of it, but even with friends, it was difficult. So I had major doubts going in. I thought this year is like, this is going to be the year that I like Forza more than Gran Turismo. And it started just with the way the cars handle on the track. That's everything to me. All three of the games that I have on my list are amazing on the track. With the controller, I don't have a wheel anymore. I haven't had a wheel for a couple of years now. That's what hooked me. But really what keeps me coming back is just the absolutely amazing online setup. And I never thought that I would see this, mostly because I never did play iRacing on the PC, which I guess is what the system is mostly lifted from. Mm-hmm. So props to them. If that's true, but I haven't played it. So it was new to me. And just the basic loop of you go out, you practice, and you practice, and you practice, and then you do your qualifying laps, and then you're pitted up against anywhere from like 12 to 24 other people, depending on the track. And you see where you are. You know, obviously, if you're 24 out of 24, you don't have any designs on winning. But it's really easy to make a goal, you know, like, okay, I'm starting 24th. Let's see if I can get to like 16th. Like, that's realistic. I won't push it too hard. I won't, you know, I won't drive like a jerk, but like that would mean that I did really well for where I started. And then you quickly get rivals on the track, and then it's really stressful, and it finish, and it feels great if you do well. And then it's like, oh, I need to chill out again. Oh, well, starting another race puts me back in practice mode, which is, you know, and it calms back down, and then it ramps back up again. And it's just, that loop is amazing to me. And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise to me, because, I mean, I feel like Gran Turismo has been in my life for decades. And I guess it probably has been at this point. I don't remember exactly when the first one came out. But I know it was a few generations ago. And I probably shouldn't have doubted it, but I did. And I love it. And this is before the single player stuff is even out. And I'm really looking forward to that as well. But I want to give props to, even though it felt like busy work to me at first, there is a thing in the sort of single player stuff where it takes you track by track and gets you to perfect every single corner in the track. And it's a little bit tedious, but after you put that time in, boy, does it really, really help, especially playing online. And just knowing, you know, you don't overbreak. Like, you get better qualifying times. It's easier to pass people when you know that you can handle a corner that the other person doesn't know whether they can handle it or not. It's just, the game does an amazing job of teaching you that. And lastly, special shout out to the system also that ranks how you are as a driver. And so if you crash into a lot of people, it lowers your score, and it puts you in races only with other people who crash into other people.
Yeah. That's the key thing.
Yeah. So, like, as time goes on, as Greg was saying, like, early on, like, I got dinged a couple times when I didn't feel like I deserved it. But, like, over time, all of that works itself out. And now I'm playing in games where everyone is trying their hardest not to crash into each other, which, as I said before, is something I didn't think I'd ever see in a console sim racer. So that is why that is my racing game of the year.
That's awesome. Pete. We've had conversations about this game. I want to play and enjoy it. I bought it. I paid the full price, full retail price, day one for it. So we've had some brief discussions, haven't chatted about it for a couple weeks. Tell me what I should do. When I fire up Gran Turismo Sport tonight after this episode, because that's exactly what I'm going to do, what should I go do to have fun?
Hop into the sport mode and pick a track. Like, they're sort of on 15-minute intervals. So depending on how much time you have, but if you have a choice between two tracks, try to pick one of the easier tracks. And then just the thing that really got me over the hump was just really sort of digging in practice mode and getting to the point where I felt like I knew the track perfectly, so when everyone else was on the course with me, I didn't have to worry about, like, oh, what's after this corner? I would assume that that's a huge part in all racing, but when you're playing online with other cars, it's you don't have the leeway. You can't take a corner wide because you're going to hit somebody, or you're going to get run off the track. It's a lot less forgiving in that manner. So you really, in practice, try to learn the track the best you can.
All right, very good. So, Dr. Ken, Dave, Greg, all three of you chose the same game as your number one. Obviously, we've already raved about it in the past multiple times, not only this year's game, but the franchise as a whole. But F1 2017, for everyone except Pete Dodd, was your racing game of the year for 2017. So everybody give sort of your sort of personal perspective as to why that is. And Dr. Ken, continuing the snake style order, why was F1 2017 your racing game of the year for 2017?
F1 2017 isn't just the racing game of the year, it's the sports game of the year, in my view. Motorsport is a sport, and this game captures its motorsport or its sport of choice better than any other representation of any other sport, possibly with the exception of the NBA 2K series. That the TV style presentation takes you into the world of F1. The on track racing is absolutely incredible. The career mode is expansive and deep in ways that it hasn't been before. It makes practice fun, which makes you a better race car driver. The AI is very, very good and adjustable, which makes it so important when you're dealing with cars in which the racing, you know, tenths of a second matter. And so if the AI was off and it was too easy or too difficult by those margins, the game wouldn't work at all, but it actually you will find a sweet spot with the AI. It's the best sports game of the year, in my opinion.
Dave Benry, F1 2017 was your sport. Was your racing game of the year for 2017? Why was it so good to you personally?
Well, I mean, Ken said it fantastically. I agree with exactly what he said. And yeah, this game brings a lot to the table that wasn't there before. And every year that I think, oh, this is the best they can get it, they get it better. The single player portion of this game, the career mode, is bounds beyond what I would have imagined it being. It is addicting as can be because they've added this RPG style sort of tech tree where you go in and do your research and development that you could spend days trying to figure out all of that stuff. But it's great. It's fascinating. The wear and tear changes the racing. This year, you have to take care of your stuff. And you never really had to do that before. And that changes the way you approach a race. You may have a clutch that's not working. You know, it's at 50% wear. And you might have to decide, do you run that race maybe a little light and save it for the next race? Or do you replace that part and put on 100%? There's so much going on. It's fantastic. And then, you know, it feels great with a wheel and it feels great with a controller. And they've included classic cars as well. I mean, all the classic cars sound fantastic. So there's a lot to love here. I absolutely love this game.
Greg Seward, one of the things that has struck me for years, you have talked about this series for years, not only here but also on Player One, and you always cite the in-game story that develops in F1. And depending upon what you're trying to do, you know, what team you're on, you know, what your skills are, what your budget is, you have very different expectations, and success means a different thing based upon that. Is that continuing for you as well? Is that what you still enjoy the most of, or has that sort of changed as the game has evolved the last few years?
No, absolutely. That's still the reason I play this game. I mean, there's lots of reasons to play this game, but I think I really find it interesting that Pete actually just mentioned how, you know, starting 24th in Gran Turismo Sport, he knows he's not going for a win. He's setting smaller goals for himself. And that's exactly what Formula One's all about. And I'm not just talking about the game. I'm talking about the actual sport. You know, you're not running a Sauber and assuming you're going to be up there mixing it up with the Mercedes for a win. That's just not going to happen. So every race is its own little story, especially if you run longer races where, you know, tire strategy and all that come into play. And especially when you get the dynamic weather, which, by the way, we've mentioned dynamic weather a couple of times on this show. No racing game gets dynamic weather more right than these F1 racing games.
Absolutely.
You can tell what's going to happen based on the sky, and it's so subtle. Mm-hmm. You won't realize it's happening. I ran a race in Canada in my rookie season on this game where they were saying that there was a chance of rain, and about halfway through, it just tickled my brain at one point. It's like the shadows have disappeared, And I looked up at the sky and I was like, it is going to rain like crazy here in about three laps. And sure enough, it did. And because of that, and because of the game telling me, you know, it's going to rain, what do you want to do? I made the right tire choice. I pitted a little bit early because I was running a Sauber and I was running, you know, at the back of the midfield because I was doing well, and managed to get my first points for the team and in my career because I made the right tire choice. But in the meantime, you know you're going to go out. I know I'm going out and I'm racing against Danny Kvyat, and I know I'm racing against Julian Palmer, and that's if I'm having a good race. And that's what that series is all about. And you throw in the depth that they've added this year, not only with the insane upgrade tree, but like Dave mentioned, the having to take care of the parts and the wear and tear on the parts is a game changer this year. It really is. It's all about calculated risk now, you know. And when you're starting, especially if you're starting on a lower team, you're going through those parts so fast. And you kind of get into it, and it's like, okay, so going into practice, that's where you get your R&D points to make sure that you can upgrade all of this gear, and you want to make sure that you keep up because your engineer will actually come and say, like, we are not upgrading this car fast enough. We really need to do this. The way to do that is going through the practice, the different practice programs, but a lot of those require that you meet a minimum time. So you kind of look at it, and it's like, well, do I want to change out my clutch right now, or do I just go out and push as hard as I can and hope that I'm successful here and save the good stuff for the race? Because the rivalries that you have in the race are also super important as well. So there's just so much risk reward, and they took what was a fantastic game in 2016. They bolted on some great new features. They turned some knobs a little bit and really, you know, really tweaked it to the point that it's just an absolute joy to play, especially if you're a fan of the sport.
And what they've done by doing those things, they've transformed it from a racing game to a franchise mode. So, you know, the equivalence of these upgrades are the equivalence of you know, free agency or your draft in an NBA or an NFL game. They're the equivalent of the transfer market in FIFA. This is where you get the depth of the realization of the sport. And they have such wonderful little touches. Like, I didn't realize for the first 3 months that I was playing, that if you actually plug in your headset, your chat headset into your controller, your pit crew will actually talk to you through the headset rather than through the television speakers. And so you get this sense that the guy is in your helmet instructing you that, hey, there might be rain in 5 minutes' time, or, hey, you better be getting your laps in a bit quicker because the guys behind you are catching you on this tire strategy. And that immersion makes such a big difference. I know, Rich, we've harped on this game so much and love it so much. I know that you've dabbled in it. What do you think about F1 2017?
So I played two different versions of it in the last 2 months since we talked about it. Since I committed to you, Dr. Ken, that I would finally play the series. The first version of it that I played was thanks to the good people at Microsoft through the Xbox Games Pass. F1 2015 is available. So I played 7 or 8 races in a season, and you guys will laugh when I tell you what I did. You know, I asked you, can I, knowing nothing about F1, just go and start racing and have fun? And you all said, yes, of course you can. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going to do it. So I downloaded the game. This is F1 2015. And picked the first team available, which happened to be Mercedes. And then I picked the first driver available, which happened to be Lewis Hamilton. And I said, that's my guy. Let's go. And in my first sort of practice lap, I was, coming in with lap times that were very good in the top, 3, 4, 5. And then in qualifying, I qualified like number one. And then in the race, I started off at the start, and I tore through it, and I won it. The only sort of issue that I had was pitting. I didn't understand how to pit. I knew that I needed to pit because it tells you before the race, you're doing like 15 laps, you're going to have to pit 7 or 8 laps in. I'm like, okay, I get it. And then it wasn't obvious, and it didn't sort of automatically take over. And having had no experience with the game, I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? So that was weird and strange. And so there's some questions I still have that I don't quite understand. But overall, I've played a bunch of 15, and I've played a little bit of 17. And 17 definitely is a significant upgrade from 15 when you sort of play the two next to each other. It's kind of stark. However, the overall sort of format is the same, which is you pretty much you go out there and you practice for 15 minutes, and then you qualify, and then you race, and the race is of significant length. So basically, you have to have 45 minutes to experience a race weekend. So overall, it's been very good. Very, very, very good. I am wildly impressed with and want to continue experiencing the racing experience in F1. What I don't know is, like, I don't feel like I'm doing it right playing as Lewis Hamilton and the Mercedes team. But on the other hand, I've never played this game. So, you know, if I'm anything other than the absolute best, I'll probably get destroyed. So I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. Thanks to the various services that I subscribe to, including the Xbox Games Pass and PlayStation Plus, I've been able to experience it without having to make the full purchase. So that's another thing. But, you know, so that's been my experience, Dr. Ken, to answer your question.
Yeah, that's great. I tell you, when you get to Abu Dhabi and you actually pit on one side of the track, and then there's a pit lane that actually runs as a tunnel underneath the track, and you end up on the other side of the track, that's going to blow your mind in terms of working out where pit lanes go.
But I mean, like, that's the sort of level of inexperience I have with both the sport and the actual racing franchise. Like, I get having to pit, right? I know enough about racing, about what that means and stuff. But then also, even when I get out of the pits, once I figure that out, you know, where I am in the race, I don't know where I really am. Because, you know, at one point I come out and then I'm in seventh, and then all of a sudden I'm in second. And then, you know, another, you know, couple of laps I'm in first. You never really sort of, you know, I can't quite figure out how that's all working either. So that's me, not the game.
I mean, that's part of the sport. And in fact, one of the instructions or one of the pieces of information you can receive from your pit crew in the menus is who am I racing? And effectively that is, if it take into account pit stops that other people are taking, who am I actually racing? Am I racing the guy that's directly in front of me, or is he going to jump into the pits? I don't have to worry about passing him, which is important when you're doing longer races and if you're doing, you know, far more simulation style, because you don't necessarily want to burn out your tires taking on a guy who is just going to pit the next lap, which again just adds that level of depth. And this is the level of depth that we're talking about, like other forms of sports games, like, you know, setting up the pass by running the ball in Madden, you know, playing different styles of defense in NBA or FIFA. It's really taking the racing game and turning it into a proper sports game.
All right. Well, that is the official Press Row Podcast 2017 Racing Game of the Year, F1 2017. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for participating. Before we let you all go, let's find out where we can find you. Greg Seward from the Player One Podcast, Generation 16. Where can everybody find you out on the internet? And what sort of interesting things might you be doing for charity, for example?
you can find me on Twitter at Seward, my last name, S-E-W-A-R-T. Every week on the Player One Podcast, playeronepodcast.com, and usually every month a new episode of Generation 16, which explores the history of Sega's Mega Drive / Saturn, depending on what part of the world you're from. Games in chronological order, and the episodes have kind of bloated to talk more about the history of the industry in general in the 90s, because that was kind of my favorite time. And yes, thank you for giving me a chance to talk about this. I raise funds for the IWK Health Center here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is a children's hospital, through a charity called Extra Life, which I've been doing now for, I'm just finishing my seventh year this year. And this year I managed to raise
$8,000. Congratulations.
Well done.
That's awesome. Yes,
thank you. U.S. funds, which I'm going to go real quick and find out what my lifetime total is, because I'm kind of proud of this. So give me one second here. So that brings my lifetime total raised for the hospital to $29,558.
That's amazing.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, and it's something that I just do year round. And some of the people on this show are donors. And I want to thank everybody who is listening who is a donor. It's a super important cause to me. The hospital needs these funds, and they go to a great cause. So, and if you are interested in helping out, extra-life.org/participant/Seward.
Thank you very much, sir. Dave Benry, where can people find you on the internet, sir?
Very simple, on Twitter, at Senior NASCAR.
Excellent. And can you talk to us a little bit about what you're doing with Telemundo and the World Cup coming up?
That's absolutely
wildly interesting to me.
we are working on our first World Cup, because Telemundo has not had the rights in the U.S. This is the first time. So we are going to have a spectacular World Cup. Everybody should watch on Telemundo. I think we're going to blow Fox out of the water.
Oh, boy.
So we are excited. Yeah, if you want to watch some exciting soccer games this summer, check out Telemundo.
It's going to be so great seeing the U.S. national team playing in
Stop it.
There's going to be a lot of great teams in there, Ken, including Australia. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes. Australia made it. Oh, there you go.
They just did.
There you go.
Yep.
I guarantee you, Dave, knowing that you are the creative director behind that production, I will be watching that, and I will be telling everybody to watch it. Congratulations,
awesome.
Dave. That's fantastic. Well, I'm really excited to see what you guys are doing.
Thank you, Rich. I think it's going to be great.
Dr. Ken, where can people find you on the internet, sir?
They can find me at hitthepass.com. I just wanted to pause it also, again, shout out to Greg for all that tremendous work that he's been doing raising funds. This time of year, hospitals also need blood, and this is something that's touched my family personally, and I've seen what the importance of blood donation is at this time of year. So, you know, please support the charities that Greg is raising money for. But if you can't, the blood running through your veins is literally worth more than any money in the bank for people that need it. So if you do get a chance this festive season, go down to your local your blood donor service and give a pint.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Pete Dodd, my friend, where can people find you on the internet, sir?
I'm on Twitter, at Pete Dodd, the word at, to make things extra confusing. Also have a podcast called The Doddcast, which you are a co-host of.
That is true.
My friend Mark is a co-host of. And in a little bit less than 2 weeks, we will be doing our Game of the Year show.
Very exciting.
So people should tune in for that. And then the episode after that, I don't know if you realize this, I just realized it the other day, is episode 300.
Boom! I didn't know that.
Yeah, this thing started in like 2008, and even then I felt like just copying like these old hacks like the Player One podcast. They've been doing this forever. And now I'm one of the old guys.
Is Sleeping Dogs eligible for Game of the Year?
He's definitely thinking of Sleeping Dogs.
That is a great game that I completed this year, and I enjoyed a lot of it. Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is awesome. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dr. Ken. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, everybody. Have a fantastic, safe, happy, healthy, and merry Christmas. And have a wonderful new year. We will be back again next week. So we'll be back between the holidays. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, be safe. Enjoy. Take care.
If you text Press Row to 727272, you get a free one-night game rental from Redbox. You know, video games are super fun and they're super expensive. And once you bust open that plastic, you're stuck with them. And that's why Redbox lets you try out the hottest new games risk-free. Right now, you can rent Middle Earth, Shadow of War, Destiny 2, NBA 2K18, and more. So just text Press Row to 727272 for a free one-night game rental. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play. The offer expires December 31st, 2017, subject to additional terms. Charges apply for additional nights. Payment card required. If you're not in Text Club, Redbox will send you an additional text with an invite to join their recurring alerts. Message and data rates may apply. For terms, visit redbox.com/textclub. And for the privacy policy, visit redbox.com/privacy.